The BMC Amy Z Talk and Caffeware Modern Mainframe Podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion, soundcloud.com/modern mainframe. Caffeware is now BMC Caffeware, providing a complete app dev toolkit which enables you to make the mainframe as adaptive as any other platform and start your journey to becoming an autonomous digital enterprise with a mainframe-inclusive DevOps toolchain. Hey everyone, welcome to the Modern Mainframe. I'm Matt Dallaire. Joining us today for our 5Q podcast is Caffeware Technical Consultant and Product Manager, Glenn Everett. Hi Glenn, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Well, thanks. Thanks Matt, I'm doing well.
Good. So you have a lot of experience. You've played many roles at Caffeware. So I cheated a little bit. I went with six questions, but
okay.
I think you can handle it.
Good.
So I'll get started with the first one. Speaking of that experience, can you tell us a little more about your career, the different roles you've had, and what you're doing now?
Sure. So I've started out doing development right out of school. I started in the working on a new product, and I've had roles as entry-level programmer, team lead, development manager, senior architect, and I recently became the accidental product manager on one of the Caffeware products. And I've worked on a lot of different platforms like mainframe, even OS2 back in the day, Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, and iOS operating systems. So I've done a lot of development on a lot of different platforms. And then the other thing that's kind of a little bit different, I think, than other people you may have encountered, I've worked at some really, really large companies and some really, really small companies. So I've been on a lot of different platforms and a lot of different companies doing a lot of different things.
Like I said, a lot of experience. That's why it was so hard to narrow down questions.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the most important issue in mainframe development today?
Well, you know, after the Great Recession we had here about 10 years ago, there was a lot of companies that shrank as much as possible so that they could survive. And in that process of shrinking, they lost a lot of mainframe experience and a lot of their QA people were lost in that process. And then the kind of the next thing after that was we started having people start to retire who were on the mainframe. And so now you've got a real kind of double problem. The first problem is you don't have as many people to do the work as you used to. And the second problem is there was already a technical backlog of work that needed cleaned up before we got to the point where we didn't have enough people to do the work. So I think that one of the major platform issues right now is just getting new people and new blood onto the platform and getting them familiar with how to work on that platform. And I think the good news to that aspect is that, the platform, I think, definitely needed some new blood. And it's exciting to see new people moving onto the platform and bringing some of the tools they had in some of their points in their career, bringing those onto the mainframe. And so it's bringing a new set of tools and viewpoints onto the product or onto the platform. One of the problems I think that mainframe platforms had for a while is it was the Department of No, you know, because they were so understaffed for so long, they became the Department of No, because every time you went there to say, oh, we could do this really interesting thing that would really drive the business, they would say, no, we don't have the people to do that, or that's on a 2 or 4 year backlog or whatever. And so now it's really nice that, as they get new people on this platform, they can start to say yes more often. So I think that's part of the good news.
Right. And I think part of that is probably implementing agile development, DevOps. So what kind of adjustments did you have to make in transitioning to those, to agile?
Well, you know, it really is quite a big mental adjustment, I think. And one of the first things is you have to kind of stop this. I need to stop waiting, you know, because a lot of times you end up waiting for the giant specification to be done. You need to stop waiting for, you know, to check your code in, because the agile sprints are much shorter. So it's not like you want to have code checked out in progress for months at a time. So you need to you know, have the attitude that you're going to get that stuff handled much more quickly. You need to stop waiting to automate your tests, because, you know, there's never a better time to automate your tests than when you're actually doing it. You need to stop waiting to deploy your code. You need to start really getting that stuff out there so that you can have users actually starting to use it and giving you feedback much more quickly. You know, for a lot of years, you know, risk aversion was kind of the primary driver on the mainframe platform, and rightfully so. You know, these systems are making sure that your money shows up in the right place at the right time. But there's also a risk to doing nothing at all. And I think some companies kind of erred maybe to the point where they got to the point where just stuff didn't get done at all. So, you know, the other mental adjustment you have to make is, you know, we're used to building big software. And so now with Agile, you need to think in smaller units. I don't have to build this fabulously giant new feature. I can build a smaller feature that gets value into my customers much quicker. And, you know, that also drives the, you know, it reduces the risk of what you're kind of going to release. So if you're delivering a smaller piece of code, you're also delivering less potential risk too. So it's usually faster to test. It's faster to get deployed. And if something does go wrong, you know, it's actually faster to recover from it. So just mentally adjusting your brain to deliver a smaller unit of value. It really did take some adjustment.
Sure. So part of DevOps is kind of breaking down the silos between the development and the operations. So what mistakes do people make in trying to break apart silos?
Well, I think the whole concept of breaking apart is the problem, because you're not really breaking apart silos. That's not really the problem. What creates a silo is a lack of communication between your teams. So we should stay, instead of breaking apart a silo, let's bring those teams together. So, and you know, that's one of the things. A lot of times the development folks won't talk to the operations folks, and they just think they live in different worlds, but they kind of live in the same world, just kind of on opposite sides of the county, perhaps is the way to think about it. But you're not breaking something down. It's really about building something and putting it together. And I think that's kind of the right way to think about it.
So we often look at things that distributed development got right, Agile and pipelines, that they can be incorporated onto the mainframe. But what things does the mainframe have right that could possibly be leveraged elsewhere?
Oh, well, I think definitely the first thing I would say is the system security. You know, they have, that is such a pervasive ingrained cultural thing on the for mainframe developers, that it's really nice that that's one of the first things they think about when they're working on a new product, is how am I going to secure it? That's usually the last thing a lot of people on the distributed side think about. So I think having the security mindset is something that in a perfect world, we would be able to transport over to the distributed systems developers so that they look at that. You know, they have mainframe organizations usually have some person whose job it is to think about risk management. And again, that's something that's traditionally not thought about on the distributed side. So risk management may think about, well, how much are we deploying? You know, how am I going to test this effectively? What happens if I miss a particular date, or if we don't do something quite right, what are the regulatory effects of that? Am I going to be fined for, you know, not doing something correctly? So I think in the area of risk management and security, I think the mainframe people really are do have good practices, and some of those practices need to be moved over into the distributed side. I think that would make a big difference. The other thing that I think is kind of funny is, back a long time ago when we first started doing PC development, we were very focused on efficiency of code because the systems were small and they didn't have a lot of horsepower. So we really needed to be conservative in what we were, you know, how we were implementing something so it was efficient. And the mainframe people still really do care about efficiency. But over the years on the distributed side, they've kind of lost some of that desire or concern about you know, highly performant systems, partly because, you know, the CPUs got faster every year, you know, memory became larger and larger over time. So it wasn't as big a deal. But now we are starting to approach those issues again on the distributed side. So we need to maybe take a step back and learn from the mainframe people that the, you know, we need to be concerned about efficiency. Not every application matters in terms of efficiency. If you've got a, you know, a marketing app that's going to be out on your web for 2 days, probably not that important. But if you're doing something like processing payments for, you know, an event that, you know, millions of people are going to try and get into, you know, efficiency really does matter in that case. And it's best to really think about, you know, what kind of performance you're going to get out of that system before you actually deploy it. And again, I think this is another area that, you know, mainframe people really do spend some time thinking about and spend some cycles to make sure that they do a good job on that.
So how do you feel that mainframe development will evolve over the next, say, 5 years?
Well, I think it's interesting. As we talked about earlier, you know, you're bringing in brand new people onto the platform, and they're going to bring some of their practices that they learn from other areas. And I think that's going to help. You know, I think one of the things that, as you know, we've started to gradually see mainframe organizations move to a DevOps approach or more agile approach, and as they've done that, you start to see the behavior change. You know, as they start worrying about how frequently they're going to deploy, they also realize kind of the next step is I have to worry about automatic testing. So one of the things that we've seen over the last couple of years is more concern about automated testing, more concern about automated handoffs, just more automation in general. Because I think for a lot of times, you know, the mainframe teams were so busy just keeping the lights on that they didn't really have time to think about how they could do a better job. And I think the other thing that's kind of happening now is some of the languages and stuff are on the mainframe are getting improved. They're bringing some more modern languages onto the platform. And so when that happens, you know, people are going to start using some of these newer tools, and they're going to start trying to interface them to all of the existing code base that they've already got out there. You know, they've got a tremendous investment in the 40 years of code that they've already got on some of these platforms. So as they start looking at doing new stuff, it's going to be absolutely vital that there's a way to interface this old code with this new stuff that they're working on. And I think just, you know, more modern development practices on even the older code bases are going to make a big difference in the way we do code inspections, in the way we deploy more frequently, and the way we can do automatic testing. I think those are really going to make a difference over the next 5 years on the mainframe platform.
Can I throw a curveball in here?
Sure.
I'll give you a second to formulate an answer if you'd like. So with distributed and mainframe systems integrating more and more, do you see developers' roles changing, possibly working cross-platform, having involvement on the development on both sides?
Well, one of the things I think to keep in mind, Matt, is that you know, code itself is not usually the hard part of these systems. What becomes hard is keeping in your head all the stuff that these particular systems do. So the amount of you have to know about different languages is not nearly as much as you have to know about the entire system. So if I come out and I've got some, you know, an application that's got, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 programs associated with it, and you know, our customers tell us they have these size systems running in place, that, you know, it becomes the real work is keeping track and knowing how all those pieces fit together versus the amount you have to know for like understanding how to run COBOL or knowing how to write PL1 or one of the more modern languages like Swift, for example, is, you know, it's just not that much knowledge you have to have compared to the amount of knowledge you have to know to deal with the entire application that you're trying to maintain or extend.
All right.
So, you know, and again, you know, some of these languages, you know, you'll learn a technique in a particular language, and then maybe you can also apply that new technique in one of the older languages. I've seen that, you know, talked about, you know, several times is that, oh, I use this particular technique in a more modern language. So I kind of figured out how I could use that in COBOL, for example. So okay. I think it's good. I think it brings some new thoughts into some of these older code bases.
So I went with 7 instead of 5.
Okay.
So even more than I said in the first place. I have a couple of bonus round questions.
Okay. Why not?
Say you're interviewing somebody. What question would you or do you ask someone else who works on the mainframe?
So I always, you know, one of the things I think that's important is, you know, again, a lot of times you come into a mainframe shop, they've got some awful giant application that desperately needs maintained. I would ask them, have you done anything in your typical development process to modernize a particular application? What steps do you kind of think are the right steps to go through when you're looking at modernizing a really large application? Those are something that I think that would be really valuable for a skill for someone to have. Like, do you go through and you look at, you know, eliminating some of the vSAN file IO and replace that with a database? Or what do you think are the important aspects of modernizing an existing application? And then I think the other thing I would ask them is, are there specific techniques you use to refactor a really large and monolithic application? We have customers who've got single programs that are 500,000 lines of code. And when we look at trying to maintain those programs and test those programs, they become very difficult. And you end up with this culture of, oh my God, I can't touch that. I'm terrified to get near that one. If I get near that one, I'm likely to break it. So we'll just leave it mess that it is. And so right. I'm always looking for people who are willing to or have an idea about how to approach those large monolithic programs and start breaking those apart into some more manageable units that are easier to test, easier to maintain, and easier to move forward.
And that can also be a problem when you're bringing in newer developers or when you're replacing outgoing developers, right? That the outgoing people might have an idea of where everything is and how it all works.
Right.
Newer people are kind of just looking at the monolith and not sure where to start.
Exactly. And I think that's really the key point there, Matt, is where do I even start? You know, when you have a program that's even a couple 100,000 lines, which isn't, right. Like it was just half the size we're talking about some of the larger ones. You know, they don't know, you know, where do I even start? You know, you can't single step your way through the debugging process with an application or a program that's that big. Your finger would turn into this little bloody stump, press the next key over and over again. So you really do need that starting point or a technique to approach finding where the problem is. And sometimes that's going to be, well, I start with a particular very small data file and I set breakpoints in these 5 interface areas and then I generally find what I need. Or I start with my report and I find the errors in it and I work my way backward into the code. You know, there's different techniques that different people have, and if you can share that with the incoming person who's going to maintain a program, that's going to move them forward months quicker than they would if they had to get to that point on their own. So you know, it's always, you know, if you can get overlap between teams, people who are coming and going, that is absolutely critical. And I've heard actual numbers thrown out, like, oh yeah, because we have no overlap, that cost us 11 months or 10 months of time in just getting that new person up to speed, because they've had situations where they had people who had overlap and other people who didn't have overlap. And they said, yeah, it can be as much as 10 or 11 months.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of money gone out the door if you don't have that overlap.
So those are good questions for people to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one more question.
you just don't stop once you get going.
During those sad hours when you're not thinking about technology, what are your interests?
Oh, I like being on the water. I like water skiing. I like kayaking. I like paddleboarding. I really enjoy being on or near the water. And, you know, it's sad here in Michigan. We're in the fall and now the water's kind of too cold to go in now. So I'm already looking forward to next summer. It's when I can get back on the water.
I'm sure. Yeah, I was by a lake the other day, and I looked out, and it was totally still, nobody on it. I was like, oh, yeah. It's fall.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Well, it's still pretty. You know, we had on the sunny days, it's like, you know, the lake is covered in diamonds when you got a little bit of a ripple out there and the sun shining. Like I said, I'm already for summer again.
Well, thanks again for taking the time to join us. I'm sorry that I kept going with the questions.
Nope, but perfectly all right.
You're too interesting. That's the problem.
I have good ideas. I have opinions.
Well, thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
And everyone listening, to listen to our other 5Q episodes, as well as our podcast series like Building a Better Software Delivery Platform and Capiware CSI, Customer Success Investigators, you can visit soundcloud.com/modernmainframe. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Modern Mainframe.
The BMC Amy Z Talk and Capiware Modern Mainframe podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion, at soundcloud.com/modernmainframe. Capiware is now BMC Capiware, providing a complete AppDev toolkit which enables you to make the mainframe as adaptive as any other platform and start your journey to becoming an autonomous digital enterprise with a mainframe-inclusive DevOps toolchain.